The Hard Shoulder on Newstalk.
With Nissan Subscribe and Drive. No deposit, no compromise, no fuss. Find out more at nissan.ie.
The weekend, Pope Francis gave a controversial address in which he made a call for ending weapons manufacturing, ending debt bondage of poor nations, saying that that was a form of neocolonialism, suggesting that big tech needed to rein itself in, suggesting that the global media needed to rein themselves in. And his words were met with a fairly strong reaction, albeit almost an exclusively online reaction. But it raised the question, of course, how much weight should the words of a religious leader actually carry? I'm joined by the Sunday Independent journalist Paddy Agnew and comedian Jim Elliott. And Paddy, can I go to you for how unusual or how common this sentiment is when it comes to the Pope's public pronouncements? Because he seemed to have a go at almost everybody.
Well, it's not unusual. It's nothing new. There's nothing in this speech that the Pope hasn't said in important documents like his encyclicals, Laudato Si and Fratelli Tutti, or the book that he wrote before Christmas, Let Us Dream. What is true is that as religious leaders go, he's certainly one of the most talkative.
And is it interesting that it doesn't seem to have, that the companies and entities at whom he directed this seem to have completely ignored what he said?
Well, I'd say a large part of the world has ignored what he said, in as much as they've heard it from him already. But, you know, he might have said a lot of these things before, but he's saying it with an increasing urgency. And I don't think that it's completely coincidental that we have the COP26 climate change conference in Glasgow coming up at the end of the month. And those are the issues in which the Pope was saying very clearly, you know, this is a time of we're at a turning point, a point of no return. Decisions have to be made for everybody to continue. You know, he uses essentially the COVID pandemic as the point of departure for his reflection. And he says that, you know, mankind is at this point of no return at the moment. That we can't just go back to what he calls our previous mindset, because that would be, he says, suicidal, and not just suicidal, but also ecocidal and genocidal. And he says, and you know, and then he makes all the appeals that you highlight in there in your introduction, you know, like lift the COVID patents in the developing world, drop the debt, stop polluting rivers, seas, poisoning people, institute fair food description, etc., etc. But above all, he gets down to saying, you know, the biggest problem that we have clearly is hunger, and points out, by the way, that 20 million more people have fallen into what we call
food poverty,
food insecurity, and you know, he highlights in particular places like Syria, Congo, Haiti, Senegal, Yemen, South Sudan, and others.
And he gets to the issue of food poverty and food insecurity at the end of quite the build. He asks, quotes, "I ask all the great pharmaceutical laboratories to release the patents." He says, "In the name of God, I ask financial groups and international credit institutions to allow poor countries to assure the basic needs of people and to cancel debts. In the name of God, I ask the great extractive industries, mining, oil, forestry, real estate, agribusiness to stop destroying forests, stop polluting, stop poisoning food and people." Jim Elliott is with us as well. Jim, is there an element in this, do you think, of judge not lest ye be judged? Do you think people will look at the institution that is the Catholic Church and the scale and scope of it and the various different responsibilities that it has and hasn't always lived up to and say, steady, maybe fix the problems in your own house?
I'm sorry, are you calling the Pope a hypocrite? Am I still in Ireland? What radio station is this? We're calling the Pope out for his hypocrisy? No, I totally get what you're saying. And to that end, yes, there can be a criticism, like that one tweet that you read out that he had, where he's calling for a forgiveness of any debts that these poorer countries may hold in credit institutions or to the IMF or to whoever. And part of me, when I read that, I was thinking to myself, hey, Pope, open up the old checkbook there, pal. You know, maybe you guys could get the Vatican Bank to co-sign a loan for some of these people. What do you say? I think, judging by your car and the gold clothes that you wear, I think that the Catholic Church has a little bit of spare coin if they wanted to help out that way. But there is the element, too, where if somebody makes a really good point and you don't want to argue about the point, then you say, oh, well, but you're a hypocrite, and you point to something else. And I always felt like that was a weird way to argue with somebody. It's like if your wife catches you cheating on her and you go, well, hang on a second, you went through my phone. That is a breach of trust, and that's what we should really be talking about here.
So in essence, we should be focusing on the message, not the context of the individual.
Focus on the message, and I think the message is fabulous. And again, here, I am absolutely a hypocrite. Why am I a hypocrite, or why should we be focusing on the message?
Why do you find the message fabulous?
The message is fabulous. I mean, look at what is going on in the world today, from the environment to climate, and yet profits have never been higher. I mean, there's morally, obviously, take a small example, the COVID vaccine should be open source. Come on. We're not all going to get out of this until we all get the vaccine. People are dying all over the world, and yet we're going to allow a couple of companies to hold on to these solutions that they developed with a little few public funds themselves, just because, you know, well, they need to make a profit.
But Jim, is there any degree do you say, look, there comes a point where the laudability of the desire expressed in the speech no longer holds any weight if it's unreal in its capacity to get delivered. For instance, he says, I asked the technology giants to stop exploiting human weakness, people's vulnerability, mm-hmm. for the sake of profits. I mean, whistling in the wind. I asked the telecommunications giants to access educational material and connectivity for teachers for free, essentially. I call on powerful countries to stop aggression and blockades. I mean, all of that is lovely. It's mom and apple pie, but there's not a hope.
Mm-hmm. No, there's not a hope, but does that mean he's not supposed to say it? So, okay, so look, nothing realistic can ever, if it's not absolutely realistic, we shouldn't absolutely say it. So we should never say, boy, I hope there's a better world someday. You don't want me to ever say that? And if nobody's, I mean, who better to say it than a guy who dresses in all white all the time and purports, however accurately, to be the leader of Catholic thought? I mean, all of this stuff, when I read about stuff like this, and you're like, oh, well, you know, I guess when Jesus said that the poor will enter the kingdom of heaven before rich, then he should just shut up. You know what I mean? Because that's not realistic. Everybody knows the meek won't inherit the earth. The meek are going to be ground into dust. Shut up, Jesus. What are you talking about? Like, isn't the whole point of all of this aspirational thought? Are we against that now?
Well, let me go back to you, Paddy, on that one as to whether or not it is aspirational thought or it is influence. Because obviously, when you look at it through the lens in Ireland, the Pope's influence has changed radically in the last number of decades from where it once was. Is that the case throughout the worldwide Catholic faithful, or is there still a significant cohort who will hang on these words and be influenced by them?
Well, I think it's both. He's generated a great deal of antipathy amongst conservative Catholics, but he's also got a lot of people who are fervently on his side. And curiously, he must be, he's clearly the most listened to Pope amongst the non-Catholic world that there's ever been. You know, and in relation to the things that he's saying and the things that, you know, that you were just saying they're not correctly, he's making all these absolutely impossible calls and things that humanity can never do, can never achieve. His way of dealing with the big questions that are in front of us is to put them out there and say, lads, you know, what are we going to do about this? I mean, he actually, in this document, he talks about, you know, we have to search for an alternative to capitalist globalization. Now, when he says things like that, he gets himself called, you know, in North America, they call him a dirty Marxist and a communist, etc. But it is his way of asking the important questions that face humanity today.
Do you think he would be better placed? I mean, maybe he doesn't have to consider this. Maybe he feels it is his duty to express all that is wrong and all that might be fixed. But would he be better picking his battles? Because, for instance, if his entire focus was on the release of the patents for the COVID vaccine into the developing world or the forgiveness of debt, and he worked those one or two issues, might he have greater success than this broad spectrum appeal to everything?
I'm not so sure. You've got to remember that it's not that he's got a lot of, as Stalin would put it, he hasn't got a lot of armies on his side. So I think he feels he has to have a broad swathe of targets.
Paddy, thank you very much for your time. That is Paddy Agnew from the Sunday Independent, and before him, comedian Jim Elliott. 53106 if you want to get in touch with the show.